Someone has observed, patience is something you admire in the driver behind you and scorn in the one ahead. All kidding aside, we'll see the need for patience in our daily walk with God next on Abounding Grace.
This is Amazing Grace.
You might not find it so difficult to trust God when times are good, but how about when you're waiting on God or times are tough and your expectations aren't met? Will you trust God then? Today on Abounding Grace, we find Abram and Sarai in the waiting room. Well, they should have been trusting in God. They tried to help God out. Let's see what went down in Genesis chapter 16. Here's Pastor Ed Taylor.
Abram could have been in a strong place here in this moment, but he doesn't seek God's counsel. And, you know, Abram knew what it was like to hear from God. And he knew what it was like to speak with God. He knew what it was like to lay it all on the line for God. He spoke with God. We just learned about in our last study, how he received the covenant and then was put to sleep to be taken care of. And God is going to fulfill his word. But how quickly that fades into the background. We have to seek God's counsel today, church. You want to know why? Because ungodly counsel can come from so many different sources, even from those that are close to you. And you're just taking in, you're taking in, you're taking in, you're taking in. Before you know it, the world has convinced you that what the world believes is better than what God teaches. And you exchange the truth for a lie. And the deception for believers is you call the lie the truth. And then you fight for the lie. And it's disastrous. It's just absolutely disastrous. Let me show you what I turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. You got to hear from the Lord, church. You got to have a scripture to base your decision on that you can hold on to. Let God lead you. You're going to get a lot of advice. Everybody has an opinion for your life. Have you noticed that? And you might even want everyone's opinion. But you got to hear from the Lord. You've got to get down in the word and in prayer and don't make a decision until you hear from God. Because even those that are very close to you can give you bad advice. Deuteronomy 13, verse 6. If your brother, the son of your mother, your son or your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend who is as your own soul, secretly entices you. Mark those three words. How in the world would you know? I mean, he's going to give an example right now, but there are other ways of your parents, your brother, your best friends secretly enticing you. You got to hear from the Lord. Have I said that enough? Say it with me. I have to hear from the Lord. Say it right now. Okay, from your own lips. Because there are those that would like to secretly entice you, especially when you're in a vulnerable state. Now, of course, in this one, you got to look out for. Let's go serve other gods, which we have not known, neither you or your fathers. Okay. If you ask me to go seek other gods, you are secretly enticing me. Okay, but there are other ways to be secretly enticed. Evil company, so the Bible says, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And you need to hear from the Lord. We have counsel and wisdom of God today. It's found in his word. And how often we make mistakes before because we fail to seek God in his word. Listen, Psalm 119, verse 24. Your testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. Do you know there's only one counselor? Not your pastor, not your friend, not your mom, not your dad, not the person that's discipling you. The Holy Spirit is your counselor through the Word of God. And you will know when you have good counsel when it lines up with the Word of God. And you know when you have bad counsel, when somebody's just spouting all their opinions and their preferences and saying it's the word of God, let your life be built upon the word. Psalm 119, verse 104. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. So the word of God is used by God to counsel you and to give you and me understanding. Verse 5, back in Genesis now. Verse 5. Then Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and she saw that she had conceived, and I became despised in her eyes. The Lord's judge between you and me. Can you just pause for a second? I want you to understand just how painful this must have been for Sarai. Not only in the mistake of the counsel, not only in the mistake of this advice. That's bad enough. But I'm sure it was extremely painful for her after waiting all those years to conceive that Hagar got pregnant immediately. And it's a knife to the heart on top of the distance they already have in their marriage and all the things that are going on in their life. And she's upset. She's mad. And so she reverts to a very familiar tool that we use, and that's blaming. That blame is the natural result of our fallen nature. It is something we all have to one degree or another. And already weak in his home, notice what Abram says in verse 6. So again, another opportunity wasted. So Abram said to Sarai, indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. And Sarai is upset with Hagar and kicks her out. Now, maybe Abram's dealing with something himself. Maybe Abram's dealing with shame. Maybe he's ashamed from his sinful mistakes in his relationship. Ashamed by not being the leader in his home. And shame is a heavy burden to carry. But listen, all your guilt and shame has been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, church. You can run to the Lord, and under the shadow of the cross and the power of the blood of Christ, he can remove the guilt and shame from your life and from your mind. Because in a very real way, there's nothing we can do to change the past. But in the moment, we can change today. In the moment, right now. And I believe Abram was ashamed, because sin will do that to you. It will make you cower in shame. And then shame will make you do all kinds of bad things. He was ashamed of his decision, decided to retreat from his role as in the home as the spiritual leader. And men, our homes need spiritual leaders. God has ordained you in the home, men, to be the spiritual leader. He has provided that role through the role of the husband and the dad. You are the primary leader of your home. Listen, I know that this Bible study goes out in many different ways, and there are many different homes. There are single moms here, and you are fulfilling the role of the spiritual leader that God never really intended for you to fulfill. Some of you are married in your home, and your husband refuses to step up and obey God and submit himself to him. He's kind of afraid that, well, maybe you'll be wrong, or maybe his personality is timid or something along those lines, and he just refuses to obey. And so you've got to take up the mantle. But I'm telling you, no matter what your personality is, no matter what your background is, no matter what you need to learn, God will enable you, men, to be the loving, caring, strong spiritual leaders that he intended you to be. And you got to step up and cooperate with God. Your kids, man, they're kids. We minister to your kids here. We minister to your kids, and they need you. So much going on in the world. And God has given you the wisdom and the strength. I know how intimidating it is. I'm a husband and a dad, and I know when I was born again, I didn't know how to be a man. I mean, it's just so shameful to think about it now as I think back. I didn't know how to be a man. I didn't know how to be a son. I didn't know how to be a husband, a dad. You name every single role in life, and I did it wrong. Every single one of them. And yet through the wisdom and the strength and the presence of God, he is teaching me continually how to be a better in every single role. And I'm still growing, still wanting to grow in my relationship with the Lord, still wanting to learn. And I have learned the value of spiritual leadership in the home. Do you know, I can't stand before you with any kind of credibility or even with any approval of God if my home is not in order. Not perfect. I don't have a perfect home. But I do have a home that loves God. And I do have a home where we truly want to do what's right. And if you'll just bring that to the Lord today, He will honor that. Even you young men that are single, now's the time to step up and lead. You know, you are the spiritual head of your home, and you're like, well, wait a minute, I live in someone else's home. No, you're the spiritual, the way you practice to be the spiritual head of your future home is to be the spiritual head of your own life. Rule your own soul well. Make the right decisions. Husbands, you are told in 1 Peter chapter 3 to dwell with your wives with understanding and give honor to your wife. Understand that they are the weaker vessel, that God has made you to lead them and to love them, that you're heirs together of the grace of life so your prayers might not be hindered. And I've found over the years that wives don't want a dictator. So I'm not, in, I was going, okay, I will do exactly what you said and go home and I am the leader. Man, if you have to declare you're the leader, you ain't leading at all. Wives don't want a dictator. They don't want a tyrant. They want a man that loves God and loves them. And God will lead you. He'll help you recover from even your past mistakes. He'll make you a new man. And Abram, we'll see that in Abram's life. But he sees his wife's upset, sees that she's very angry, knows that she's given bad counsel. And what does he do? Go ahead, do whatever you want. And she deals harshly with Hagar. And this is Abraham's son. This is, now she's pregnant with Abraham's son. And this is what they thought would fulfill the promise of God. How quickly things change when you're in the flesh. And you find out, that wasn't God after all. Notice with me in verse 7. Now the angel of the Lord, you notice in your New King James, the angel is capitalized. This pre-appearance, pre-incarnate appearance of Christ found her. Found who? Hagar. So you might want to make sure you understand her is Hagar. She flees from their presence, and then the Lord went after her. And she found her by the spring of water in the wilderness, by a spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. So the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. And the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted or for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child. You shall bear a son and you shall call his name Ishmael. You know what Ishmael means? God hears. Ishmael becomes the father of the Arab race because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So I want you to notice this. Sarai deals harshly, but God deals softly. Sarai deals harshly, but God deals softly. Sought her out. She was hurt, just entered into a wilderness time, could very well have died in the wilderness, the conditions there. And he comes and says, why are you running? And remember, God is asking these questions not for knowledge, but to draw out from Sarah. So sometimes just saying things out loud from your own mouth gives you the reality of what you're really thinking, what you're really doing. Just being able to repeat it, let somebody else repeat it to you, hearing it. And when Hagar's running away, I understand why she ran away, but let me ask you a question. Have you noticed how easy it is for you to run away? The truth is, you aren't able to outrun your problems. There is, though, a lot of running from problems today. A lot of people dealing, problems are common to us all. Difficulties, trials. And I'll tell you, man, there's a lot of running away when difficulties come. You know, people You know, I hate my church. I'm going to go to another church. Yeah, now you're going to mess that one up too. I hate this state. I'm going to go to another state. Well, so another state's going to solve all your problems? I hate this marriage. I'm going to run to another marriage. You really think that's going to solve your problems? I hate this person. I'm going to run and get new friends. You really think you're going to that kind of attitude that you're the type of friend people really need? That you ditch people in difficult times? I was sharing with someone recently, actually at Refresh, and one of the opportunities I had to talk with someone, they were sharing with me of a difficult time in their life, and they were lamenting. They were lamenting over the revelation of this difficult time. And one of the revelations they've learned of how many people bailed on them and abandoned them in this time of difficulty. It's a very, very serious time of difficulty, and the people that they thought would help them, the people that they've done life with for many, many years, not just let them down, but abandon them. And I say, I affirm to them that that is one of the things that you learn during deep crisis. You learn a couple of things just in the relation to other people. Number one, in times of deep crisis, you learn who your friends are, who your real friends are, not your acquaintances, not your Facebook friends, you know, not people that follow you on, like your real friends. It really is revealed during times of crisis. And you also learn who your friends are not, which is very painful. I mean, you're already hurting. And then on top of that, you find people are bailing on you, people you thought would help you, people that were with you in the good times but now aren't with you in the bad times, people that covenanted, yeah, thick and thin, rich or poor, and they just bail on you. And I shared with them something that God has shared with me. It's easy to give. It's hard to live. And I shared this phrase. I said, I want you to remember this phrase every time someone you thought was your friend leaves you, bails on you, turns their back on you because of this crisis, doesn't help you. I said, I want you to remember this phrase. Whenever it happens, I want you to pray through this. And here's the phrase, and I quote, God is telling you that these people are not good for you, end quote. These people are not good for you, end quote. For the pathway you're on and the journey this pain has brought you on, these are not people that will help you on the journey. Now, I know you thought they would help you, and I know you may have gone through things before, but this difficulty has revealed to you something you didn't know before. These people are not good for you. And perhaps the Holy Spirit will just release you right now. Those of you that this is very relatable to will just release you from thinking it's your fault. Thinking that it's all your fault. No, these people are not good for you. Just let them go. Let the Lord do what he's going to do. And you just stay on the path of restoration, reconciliation, repentance, pressing into the Lord. I know it's not fun being alone, and I know it's not fun having to deal with lost friendships. I get it. But no need to chase after them. These people are not good. God is saying to you, these people are not good for you. And I'm not saying they may never come back. I'm not saying that. I don't know what the Lord wants to do. But I'm telling you right now, when you find out who your friends are not, no need to get bitter about it. No need to be unforgiving about it. No need to try to get any kind of revenge. Just remember this. These people are not good for you. And press into the Lord. Running away in difficult times is common. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. So running is a natural response. The real issue is, where are you running? Are you running away? Are you running to? Running is not necessarily a sin. It gets, you know, they even say in the physical realm, if you get some exercise when you're stressed out or depressed, a little bit of sweat, a little bit of exercise is good for you. So, you know, if you're going to run, get on a treadmill and then you'll never go anywhere. You get all the energy and never make any. But in the spiritual realm, you're going to run. And the righteous run to the name of the Lord. And they're safe there. And there are times of running for all of us. Pain, problems, fear, anxiety, anger, frustrations. But the key is to run to the Lord. The key is to run to fellowship with other believers. The key is to run to prayer, run to the Word, run to church, run to the Lord. It's safe there. Amen? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Here's another one, Psalm 119 in verse 32. I will run in the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. I love that. So he's given instruction. The angel tells Hagar, go back and submit. And that's God's answer. Go back and deal with it. And a lot of people run away from other churches and stuff, and they run here. And if we hear about that and there's any unresolved stuff, we tell you, go back and deal with that. Because if you don't get it resolved, you're going to bring all kinds of trouble here. I'm not saying the Lord's not calling you here, but I am saying this. The Lord's not calling you here with all that baggage. Deal with it. So he tells Hagar, and to a very dangerous, scary thing. Go back to Sarai and submit yourself. Well, she just kicked me out. But God's here telling, trust me, I hear you. I hear your affliction, it says. In Psalm 4, verse 1, it says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. It talks about Ishmael being a strong man, a strong-willed kid, a wild man. And then verse 13, notice Hagar says, she called on the name of the Lord who spoke to her and said that he is El Roy. You are the God who sees. For she said, I've also seen him who sees me. Therefore, the well is called Ber Lahai Roy. Observe it. It's between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. This is indeed a low point for Abram, church. This one mistake would take Abram out of fellowship for 13 years. We don't find Abram speaking with God in our study here for another 13 years. And sin is just never worth the temporary pleasure, ever. It's a huge, sinful mistake no matter how it happened. The birth of Ishmael is something the Middle East and we deal with still to this very moment. The consequences of this sin is affecting us. The tension between the Arabs and the Israelis continues today. The tension between the Arab nations and the world continues to this day. In this episode from Abram's life. But one final thing. No matter what, God's plan will be fulfilled. His will is still going to be done. It's strange, but his hand can't be forced, but his will cannot be thwarted. It's almost like Abram and Sarah are trying to force God's hand here. God's hand will not be forced, but also his will not be thwarted. When you lose control and you're overwhelmed, come into the hands of the Lord. Run to him. Get back to church. I wonder how many people are listening to me that have not been in fellowship for weeks and months and even years. You need to come back to fellowship. You need to run back to the Lord. Choose the right way, because you can go farther and do more for the kingdom of God through obedience than you could ever do in disobedience. And we'll read the rest of Abram's life in our study next time.
We're enjoying a study in Genesis here on Abounding Grace. Pastor Ed Taylor is our teacher on the program, and you can hear these studies online at AboundingGraceRadio.com and through the Calvary Church app. Check out Ed's blog at edtaylor.org. Thank you for remembering Abounding Grace in your giving to the Lord. Every gift that comes in goes right to ministry. It plays an important role in helping us bring the truths of God's Word to the radio and the internet every day. And when you support the ministry today with a gift of $25 or more, we'll say thanks by sending you Humility by Andrew Murray. Request it today when you call 877-30-GRACE. That's 877-30-GRACE. Ordering is super easy through our online store as well at calvaryco.store. And if you'd just like to make a donation to the ministry and you're not interested in the book, you can donate safely and securely at aboundinggraceradio.com. Glad to have you with us for today's broadcast. We look forward to continuing the journey through Genesis next time on Abounding Grace with Pastor Ed Taylor. In the meantime, let's be drawing on God's abounding grace for daily living.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Abounding Grace is brought to you by Calvary Church, Colorado, here in Aurora.